Good morning, everyone. Sing along with us. We're getting ready. We're in the season. It's wonderful. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Squim Community Church. We're glad you can join us for worship this morning. And I would like to invite the Watson family up. They're going to be doing our Advent reading for us this morning.
Central candle of the Advent wreath. Each week, the light has grown stronger as we have anticipated Christ coming into the world. The fourth candle is the angel's candle. Today, we join the angels to proclaim that God's Son has indeed come into the world. Go ahead and light the last one. You got it. Nope. Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased, Luke 2:14. As we light the angel's candle, we also anticipate Christ's second coming to the world. On Christmas Eve, we will light the central candle that represents Jesus. One day, Jesus will return, not as a babe, but as a savior, to take all of his fellow followers home to be with God in heaven. One day, we shall behold Jesus in all his glory and majesty, face to face.
Thank you. Let's continue in worship this morning.
Joyful.
She sings to him a lullaby.
Pray together. Lord God, in this season, we're reminded just how much you love us. And Lord, it's a love we continue to experience and know more of, but well, what we've experienced and felt so far, we know we cannot completely understand it. Nor can we completely experience it. But we're thankful that we can know what we know. And that we have been able to experience so much of your unconditional love for us. We're thankful in this season we're reminded that you've revealed yourself to us. That you're a God for sure that is transcendent, but you're a God who is down to earth that we can know, and we can know personally. And Lord, in this season of giving, we're thankful that you've given to us. You've given to us in a temporal way, in a day-to-day way, but you've given to us in a way that, in a manner that will last for all eternity. And for a chance in this season to emulate you, to love at our very best level, to give the very best gifts we can find. It's a great honor to honor you. As we think more and feel more about who you are and what you mean to us, it reminds us that we do fall short of your glorious ideal. That even in our best efforts, at times they fall short of the mark and they miss the mark. And a chance to confess those to you, receive your forgiveness, while that makes all the difference in our world. For it is with your forgiveness and the freedom and the abundance that come with that, Lord, that is the difference between just living in this world and being alive. And we're thankful that you enliven us, that you give our life a meaning and a purpose that goes beyond a particular moment, a particular circumstance. That you give us an eternal perspective, a heavenly perspective in our life. And Lord, you are transforming us. Help us to cooperate more and more with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, as we gather, we have people upon our mind and heart that we want to pray for and lift to you. As we have been in this COVID time, we pray for our world and our country, our own region. Lord, we pray for those that are ill. We pray for those that are serving and helping those who are ill. Lord, we are looking for a blessed new year. There's always a hope and a future in you. Now, we thank you for who you are. We are thankful for all that you do in us and through us. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So greet those around you as you would like. And as our worship team leads, let's give them an applause. Thank you for that. Boom. So it's been a great week. If you missed last weekend, you'll have to catch it online because it's worth listening to. Christy and her gathering of musicians and singers. Mary, did you know, you probably don't know this, but that song in the last week has been viewed over 2,000 times. 2,000 times. So there's a lot to be experiencing, a lot to be proud of in a good sense of that word. In terms of our weekend last week, this week, there's a lot coming up in the week ahead. Let me tell you a little bit about that. Christmas Eve services will be here at 5:30. That's a family-friendly service, so we're expecting lots of kids and commotion that goes along with kids. That's all good. If you don't know kind of our SCC style, I will do a children's moment with all the children up here on the stage. So I'll talk a little less and we'll sing a little more. And we have a gift for every child that comes on Christmas Eve, so they don't go home empty-handed. The day after Christmas, please listen. Every time we make a change in worship schedule, someone says, I never heard that there was a change in the, please listen. Everybody online, please listen. The day after Christmas, we're having two worship services. We're going to have a 9 o'clock service here and a 10:30 service over in the sanctuary building. What time are we meeting here? You're used to that because you're here. That's right. A little later, if people come at 10 on the other side, they'll just be early and they can talk with one another. Memorial deacons are, we need cookies. We need cookies for Monday. One of our longtime members, Helen Thomas, passed away at 103. Yes, what a great saint. Her family is in town, and so we're gathering quickly to have a memorial service so that they can head back home and don't need to come back this way. So we could use some cookies. It's okay if they look like gingerbread men. We'll take any cookies you would like to bake. That service is at 1 o'clock, so just bring your cookies by noon into the office, and we'll take it from there. Rick and I have been working, actually mostly Rick has been working, on a follow-up to our Rooted experience. How many of you were a part of Rooted? Excellent. If you like Rooted, you're going to love Rooted 2 or the sequel, Restoring Rhythms. Rick and I are actually writing the curriculum that you'll go through, the daily devotions. He's actually writing most of it. But I am making a contribution, and we did put our heads together, so we've got something awesome that we're going to launch on the 16th of January. It will be like what we did with Rooted. I'll be preaching on the subject on Sunday morning, and then you will have curriculum, a daily devotion, and then a small group experience that you can share with your small group. If you're not in a small group, we're going to put some Rooted, the sequel, groups together. We'd love to have you be all a part of it. Last time, it was really an awesome church spiritual experience. The commonality of what we were talking about, learning, and sharing was really a high water mark for us as a church. You'll notice some of the subject matter is similar, but I can tell you this, it's a little, we're going a little deeper in the sequel because of what we experienced in Rooted. And now we're able to go just a little bit deeper and talk about things from a little different angle in perspective. So here is Rick, and here's his encouragement to you.
I'm Pastor Rick. In early 2020, Squim Community Church participated in the Rooted Experience, an all-church endeavor where 70% of our congregation engaged in small groups around the practices or rhythms of the early church. These included daily devotion, prayer, freedom from strongholds, sacrificial generosity, serving the community, sharing our stories, and celebration. The experience transformed our church. And as the pandemic began, we saw that God had a deeper purpose in mind than just another special series. He had knit us together deeply so we could stay connected during the time of isolation. Now, as we envision our next season, it seemed fitting to revisit the themes of Rooted and consider what it would take to bring us even more vibrant health in the coming year. So this January, Pastor Scott and I have created a customized sequel to Rooted called Restoring Rhythms. It's a 10-week message and small group experience that will revisit the topics of Rooted, but with new devotions and a fresh angle each Sunday. It's designed to deepen our connection with God, the church, and our purpose. Most of our existing small groups are already planning to participate. And if you're not in a group right now, we'll be forming 10-week Restoring Rhythms groups that will meet on campus Wednesdays at 2 p.m. and Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. There are other groups that meet at different times, and some will do it virtually. And if you're new to Rooted, we'll get you a book and the new Restoring Rhythms workbook, and you'll be all set. Visit our Restoring Rhythms webpage and find out the details to sign up for a kickoff time in mid-January. You can also fill out a registration form and drop it off in the box in the back of the service. God desires to make us rooted and fruitful. Our hope is that you'll give yourselves fully to Restoring Rhythms and trust Him to do amazing things.
God did do and is doing amazing things because of our gathering around His Word in a very open and honest, yes, Lord. In a very open and honest way, it's amazing how God transforms us and how He galvanizes us together as His people, carrying out His mission and His purpose. We want you to be a part of that. Let us know how we can help you get into a group. Fill out a registration, go online, call the church office. Again, we want you to participate in this great spiritual and community experience. Today, we're going to be looking at God's Word. We have Nikki Compton James, who is our elder to youth. She'll be reading our passage this morning.
Good morning, SEC family. Merry Christmas. Today's scripture reading is from Luke 1, verses 67 through 80, and I'll be reading from the NIV. Zechariah's song. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember His holy covenant, the oath He swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel."
There we go. Christmas reveals God's design for us. Now, listen to what Zechariah says in verses 68 to 79 about Jesus. He's the Lord that redeems His people. He's a mighty Savior. He is now the one that will save. He's the one that rescues. He's God's tender mercies. He's the one that gives the light to those who are in darkness, and He is the one that guides to the path of peace. Now, God is up to something. God has a design for us. He wants to be in relationship with us, and we've been talking about that this Christmas season. God is all of what Zechariah pens and more. How does Jesus do all of these things? Look at verse 77 in Luke 1. You will tell us, people, how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Now, forgiveness of sins. It's Christmas time. Why is he talking about sins? Aren't we supposed to have happy, positive subjects? Well, I think forgiveness from sin is a great subject. It's the reason why Jesus came to this planet ultimately. Is he came to deal with the sin problem. The sin problem that exists between us and God. And he didn't come to condemn us and make us pay. Just the opposite. He came to forgive our sins. His design is to help us by forgiving our sins. Now, forgiveness is really all about repentance. Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God." Wow, repentance. Now, what does repentance mean? I'll refresh your memory. It means turning about. It assumes a turning about, which is a 180-degree difference. We were going that way. God wants us to go this way. The linchpin on our side, because God offers us forgiveness in Jesus Christ, is our willingness to acknowledge our sin, ask for forgiveness, and go the other way. It's a turning about that shows up in our attitude, and it's a turning about that shows up in our actions. And here's the thing, I've been hanging around in the church for a long time. When we turn around, we don't really want repentance. Because we don't really want to turn 180 degrees and be all in with God. Now, it's okay if you have to take it in pieces or in process. That's the way we all are. But there comes a time, at Christmas time, where we have to realize that we have to be all in. God's all in. He came to this planet as a human being. I love what C.S. Lewis says. That's like saying that God, that a human being wanted to become a slug. God loved us so much that he was willing to come as a human being, and he came like a baby. Wow. He came as a savior, a baby in a cave, not a palace, not privileged. God was all in. He showed us a love that we don't deserve, but we need it. And for us to really have the love that we need so that we can experience that ourselves and share that love, we got to go repent. Why do you think John the Baptist said that? Why do you think Peter and the other disciples said that? Because they know the human condition. What we want to do is just turn a little bit. Just a little bit. Well, it's a little bit in the right direction. And don't get me wrong, a little bit in the right direction is a good thing. But what we need is not just a good thing. What we need is a change of mind, heart, and soul. And that's the gift of Christmas. That's the design. For us to receive what Jesus came to give us, we got to turn around all the way. We got to be all in. And what we notice when we repent is it does affect our attitudes. And it does affect our behavior in a very positive way. See, God's design for us is to help us with our spiritual need. The difference in my mind between living and being alive, it's all about our spiritual need. We got a lot of people living, but we don't have a lot of people who are alive. And I believe the difference we find in the book of Matthew. God blesses those who realize their own need for Him. And the challenge at Christmas time is, do we realize our need for Him? I believe that the meaning and purpose that we're looking for, the vitality that we're looking for in life, is really a spiritual matter. And if we think we have it all together, or we know what's best for us all the time, well, we shouldn't be surprised that we're missing something at Christmas time. See, the bottom line of the Christmas message and what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 5:3, we have to realize our need for Him. And that takes humility. It takes humility for us to realize that we can't do everything that we need for us. It takes humility to realize that what we aspire to at the core of our being is not satisfied. Even in a great job and great friends, great bank account, great vacations. See, oftentimes those things, they mask the truth about us. And that truth is that we really do have a spiritual hunger inside of us that we can't satisfy. We can only partially address it. In fact, that's part of the frustration of being a pastor. All of this can all happen, and people can come and sit and take it all in. But the question is whether they do that humbly. The question is, do they do that because they really hunger and thirst for God's righteousness? Yeah, humility brings wisdom, Proverbs says. And it is the wise person who realizes, hopefully sooner than later, that, you know, I have a spiritual need that I cannot fulfill on my own. And here's the great truth. You were never designed to fill it on your own. See, it's amazing to realize that God created us incomplete for a reason. So that we would humbly reach out to God. Realize that we were never made to meet all of our spiritual need. And that spiritual need isn't an add-on in our life. It's the foundation. It is the difference between living and being alive. And the great thing about God's design at Christmas time is He came to address our spiritual needs. To remind us that He is here for us and for our needs, but we just have to humbly ask for it. Reach out for it. Be open to it. And see, with that foundation laid, now we're ready to be our very best. Our very best. I know some people are convinced that what they're experiencing is the best or as good as it's going to be. And how many of us who have repented would say, no, that's not it. That's not the real life. That's living, but that's not really being alive. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be what? Satisfied. Have you noticed that we try to address our hunger and our thirst in so many other ways? And we might be satisfied a little bit or for a short time period, but the human things around us, well, they were never designed to really satisfy our hunger and our thirst when it comes to our spirituality. Here's Jesus' insight. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Now, most people I know want all their needs met. Anybody here not want all their needs met? Yes, we want all of our needs met. And we go about trying to meet those needs. That's the human way. The problem is, and I'll challenge you a little bit today, is what kingdom have you been seeking? We seek a lot of kingdoms. The career kingdom, the location kingdom, the money kingdom, the vacation and pleasure kingdom, the portfolio kingdom. Yes, we do. And so if we're headed off in that direction, we have to turn around from that. And we have to seek a God who can and will meet our needs. But we have to seek that, which means we have to stop putting all of our time and energy into this and put it into Rooted, the sequel. Into seeking God and his kingdom. And when we seek Christ, when we seek his kingdom, as we're doing that, it's amazing how God meets our needs. And he meets a need that we know we cannot meet on our own. We know we can't, we know that they can't, and we know that it can't. And once we repent of that, once we turn around, once we humbly acknowledge that, wow, it's amazing what God does. The Lord has made everything for his own purpose, and that includes you. That includes me. The great thing is when God starts to enter our life and gets to work on the inside job, what we notice is now we have a different purpose. And I don't know how to explain it exactly, but when I raised my hand in a Bible study the summer before my freshman year in college, it changed my purpose. I didn't change my major right away. Trust me, I was not headed to be a pastor when I first became a Christian. But I can tell you this, my purpose was different. Why? I was all about me. And Just like that. Now I knew I couldn't be all about me anymore. Now it was all about God and what God wanted me to do. And yeah, that changed some attitudes and that changed some behavior right away. God has the best in store for us, and he proves that out by giving us a meaning and a purpose in our life that goes far beyond us. In fact, it goes far beyond a single moment in time, a single relationship, a single circumstance. Why? It's eternal. See, the Lord makes everything, including you, for his purpose. And his purpose is divine. His purpose is eternal. Now, you'll know you've grabbed a hold, or you're grabbing a hold of God's purpose, because it changes your perspective. Remember what I just said about, oh, I can't be self-centered all the time. Life isn't all just about me. Now it's about God. Now it's about other Christians, about other people in general. And that perspective is not only a different perspective in the moment, but it's an eternal perspective. Listen to what the Bible says. So whether you eat or drink or overeat, or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You know, that's a single litmus test. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing. I mean, I like the two great commandments too, as a way to evaluate moving forward in life. But you know, one of the litmus tests is it giving glory to God? Gee, should I go in that direction? Is it going to give glory to God? Our whole purpose is about giving glory to God. Why? Because he gave us the glory. He gave us Jesus. And one of the things we'll experience when we get to eternity is that glory of God, pure and profound. The other thing that happens when we repent and we turn around and our spiritual needs and foundations are laid is we have a different purpose, we have a different perspective, and we have a different transformed result. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us. And check this out, long ago. He knew you long ago. He planned good things for you long ago. I know we think we're the one that finds God. The only reason we can find God is because he's revealed himself to us. And then the Holy Spirit, which was outside helping us, right, enters us as we repent and are converted. And now we got the power to be God's person. Now we're a person that understands the glory of God and can honor him in what we say and do. And so we look back and we can see that we've changed. Honest, I've changed. God's changing me. God will change me. Right? Salvation, sanctification, glorification. I'm on the sanctification part. I'm not in a hurry for the glorification. It'll be there in his timing. Right? It'll be there in his timing. Why does all of this happen? Because God is truly forgiving. See, we need to be forgiven. A part of being alive is to realize the freedom of God's forgiveness in our life. And once we have that in place, now we're in a position to forgive other people, as hard as that is. And I know who the hardest person to forgive is. Yeah, yourself. God wants us to experience his forgiveness. What does it take? 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins, notice the condition. If we confess our sins, if we're humble and honest, and we realize that we've missed God's mark, when we confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from every wrongdoing. I love that about God. He forgives and he forgets. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's not even that he just cleans the slate, but he gets a whole brand new board. A new slate that he gives us. And we start anew. What an amazing God. What a forgiving God. A God that comes so that we can know him. And in knowing him, we turn about. We repent. And now we're not going our own way. Now we're going God's way. See, God's design that is revealed at Christmas time is God didn't come to punish us. He came to save us. He came to give us what we need as well as what we want. He came to give us a purpose that goes beyond a moment. A perspective that's heavenly. A reality that, yes, God is changing me from the inside out. I have those days like you. You know, it's three steps forward and two steps back. But yet God is transforming us. Changing us for the better. I keep coming back to John 3:16 because it's all of Christmas. All of what God came to do in us and through us is here. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Everyone who believes repents and turns about. And in their doing, in their action, in doing that, they no longer are perishing, just living. No, just the opposite. They're transformed. And they're alive. And that experience will last longer than a Christmas. It'll last for all eternity. God's personal Christmas gift to you is Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, you know, we're just not deserving of all that you give us. We're not deserving to know you, yet you've chosen to reveal yourself to us. And in doing so, as we humbly look at ourselves and as we repent and turn around, it's amazing how you meet the core issues in our life, because the core issues are spiritual. Who am I? Why am I? Where am I going? You answer all of those things. Lord, in our transformation, our repentance, you bring a better, alive life to us. And Lord, we know it's not because we deserve it. It's just because you're a loving, forgiving, eternal God. Lord, thank you for who you are and all that you do in us and through us. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Please stand and sing with me.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice.
Thanks for worshiping with us this morning. It was great to be together. As you go out this week, remember the Lord has unfailing love and faithfulness for you, and he desires that you walk with him intimately. And a reminder, please come to our Christmas Eve services. We are having a 5:30 family-friendly service here and a 7 o'clock traditional candle lighting service in the other building. So God bless you. See you next week.